another myth. One.
The fact that we're all weirdos and we say, we're wishing you some sticky baby dust.
Okay, so this is podcast number 3. Myths and tricks and aids and
legends. None of it, and maybe all of it, maybe some of it, maybe none of it will help you. Maybe nothing will help you. Maybe everything will help you.
Yeah. I don't think there's a problem looking into it, doing research.
There's so many myths out there that just you get bombarded with that you think, okay, I must eat the watermelon seed so that I can have a baby. Like, I must do the whatever.
Sniff the raspberries or something completely crazy.
Or you're going to be like us and we're going to try seed cycling. Like,
yes.
Which we'll get into. I think that'll be its own podcast, the seed cycling and our experiences with it, just in case anybody's interested in that.
Yes.
Because I was blown away by that.
We'll cycle back.
You say you're not funny.
I'm not profound.
Well, you are pretty funny. Don't be negative. There's all kinds of myths going along with food. Some of them have some kind of fact backed up with them, but most of them are just, it's just healthy diet. That's what they tell you. Have a healthy diet. What they don't tell you is that healthy diets depend on the person. There's a lot of misinformation out there that it's easy to get caught up in, and it's easy to blame yourself for things that you think you're not doing.
Totally. So let's hit us with the first one.
Your favorite, Leanna, the pineapple.
It is.
Which I hate pineapple, so I didn't even try this, but
I love pineapple, so I pretty much eat it all the time anyway, so.
But the core.
The core, it is a little nasty. It's a little, not waxy, but it's gross. Yeah, you gotta put it in a smoothie or something.
Is that what you did? You usually put it in a smoothie?
I usually put it in a smoothie because it's just dense and really weird. It's like eating a bad onion, like texture-wise. But, so there's no scientific evidence. The myth being that pineapple core helps with implantation. That shows that the core helps with implantation, but there are also no trials that were done to debunk this.
Okay, so it's something that maybe if you like pineapple and crusty onions, you can try it. But there's no guarantees. Before I forget, we are not doctors. We do not speak for doctors, and everything that we say is not medical fact. It is just what two people deep in the pit of fertility have researched and gone over. So
maybe a little of what our doctors have told us, but
yes, Leanna has a doctor she's been going to very much. I have not yet gone to a doctor. I am bad. Shame on me, doctor. So our personal opinions are not medical opinions.
Yes, but however, in the pineapple, there is a protein, a chemical, a, what do you call it?
Agent.
An agent. I'm going to butcher this saying. You say it. It's a bromelain? Bromelain.
I'm not
bromelain.
I'm not going
to. We'll circle back to that one.
Okay,
so there is an agent in the pineapple that acts as a blood thinner, which aids in implantation. So I think that's where the myth kind of comes in.
Okay, so is that kind of like how people take baby aspirin?
Yeah, or ibuprofen thins your blood, so don't take it before surgery kind of thing.
Okay.
So I think there are elements in it.
Do you think that this myth is the responsibility for why pineapple is one of the signs for infertility?
I think it might be.
Because some poor lady out there ate so many pineapples that she was like, pineapples are my life. This is everything that represents
me. Well, if you eat it every day, eventually it's going to happen, right?
I guess. So is it you're only supposed to eat pineapple during certain parts of your cycle?
I believe it was after ovulation to help with implantation. So that would be the 2-week wait.
Okay, so just during then.
Yes.
Lots of pineapple.
But I could eat it every day, so I probably almost do. It's just that good.
All right, some fun ones. Do you think you can eat a pomegranate and that will help with fertility? Have you heard of that?
I have not heard of the pomegranate one.
So the reason why people think that eating pomegranates goes with fertility is because they're seeds.
Oh, here we go again. Eat the seeds.
It's all about the seeds. Planting. It is false. There are no studies that show that pomegranates will get you pregnant. It's just one of those weird things where people go and say, eat the pomegranates, eat the pineapple, eat the liver, sunflower seeds, asparagus, oysters, all those fun things. You could be like me and eat so much asparagus that you just can't anymore and you're just like, no thank you, I'm done with the asparagus for today. Or have green pee. If your pee is green, you have too much B vitamins. You're having too much B vitamins. Like me.
Yeah.
So just watch out for yourself. Watch yourself. Ooh, can we talk about dairy?
Yes. So the myth being dairy contributes to infertility. Just straight up dairy in general.
Just, you have to give up everything that's good in life. Cheese, milk.
Ice cream.
What else is dairy related? But mostly cheese for everything. Me.
Cheese, everything. Yogurts, milk.
Everything that is good in this world.
Everything, I don't know. When I was looking at this, what I found funny was that it said that full cream diets, like just straight up full cream, has actually been associated to reduce the risk of anovulation, which is not ovulating.
So we need dairy.
You need dairy.
We're being told not to have dairy or certain dairies. Like I've heard there's things about like pasteurized cheeses versus unpasteurized cheeses, which I believe are blue cheese and stuff, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Cheese.
I think that might come from just the whole pregnancy aspect, because you're not supposed to have the unpasteurized stuff when you're pregnant, so I think people just assume when you're trying to get pregnant, you shouldn't have it either. So I think that's where the dairy confusion comes in.
Okay, but it's just a total boob, for lack of a better term, because there's so many different countries and cultures where dairy is like a huge part of their diet, and they all manage to have kids. So
yep.
Oh
well, right here it tells you that it's actually the full good cream, for ovulating. Yeah. So. Debunked.
So eat your cheese, ladies, and your ice cream.
You'll stick with the ice cream.
IVF is always successful, which we know that's not true. You can do a whole cycle with IVF and still not conceive. So always ask your doctor. Always get a doctor. Don't be like me and be on almost year two with no doctor visit. Though COVID played a part in that. In my defense, COVID has played a part in that. So
yeah.
So another one that I get a lot is if you do fertility treatments, you're going to have multiples. And what we mean by multiples are like twins.
Triplets. Quadruplets.
Thank you.
Going a lot
words
higher.
Words were not in my head. Octo mom who had eight kids. Myth.
It is possible, but it's not guaranteed.
Yeah, so there's like a statistic that I don't think that we have on us where your chances increase with certain medications, but it does not guarantee that you'll have multiples.
And they're all very low percents. So about 6% deal with infertility. So I don't know what is that? That's not a 1 in 8. That's
6 in 10?
That would be 60%, right?
60%.
Am I right? Am I wrong?
No, that's right. I'm wrong.
So six, that's like point six zero. Out of 10.
So less than one person.
Less than one person out of 10.
So then that's like what, 1 out of 12 maybe? Get the answer.
How many in 10 is 6%?
That's got to be less than one.
How many? 0.6. Yeah, it's 0.6.
So six, every 6 out of 100 people then is 6%.
Yes.
So every 6 people out of 100 people suffer from infertility. That's not quite as big of a number as 1 in.
Well, 1 of 8 out of the 6% is PCOS.
Oh, why did I think that 1 in 8 was just 1 in 8 couples?
Maybe it is 1 in 8. I don't know. We're going to redo this whole statistic later when we have figured it out.
Yes, we'll come back to it. So it's not rare. I think what makes it seem like it's rare is that it's not talked about enough. That people keep infertility a secret and that we speak in these fun little secret codes and that only if you're deep in the infertility do you even understand, and even then you can kind of run the risk of misrepresentation. Oh my gosh. Miss
misrepresentation. Is that what you're saying?
No. Let's just change it to,
infertility
you
is
run rare. The risk of thinking that somebody's infertile when they really aren't. Like, right. Reading into the signs when it's not true. And I think that's part of why people don't really reach out, because they don't want to expose their own secret in the case that they're wrong and that person isn't experiencing the same thing.
Yes.
Kind of like how I, on my Instagram, just like recently, the last 6 months or so, I've been a lot more vocal about my internal struggles with infertility, mostly just posting, you know, quotes that I feel like apply to me or whatever. And it wasn't until I posted the one of the classic pee stick that's missing the, that's part of it, is that it's just too much of a secret.
Because it is personal. No one really talks about their sex lives or, you know, wants to.
I think, and people just like, just family members and stuff just assume that you're not trying because you're not pregnant.
Yes, got that a lot.
Like, oh, you must be waiting for something, or oh, you're waiting to finish school, or you're waiting to get a better job, or you're waiting to have a house, etc., etc.
Let's talk about stress. The myth being stress is the reason for infertility.
Just relax and it'll happen. Well, I'm sorry, lady, but I've been relaxing for the last 6 months, and guess what? I'm on my period right now, so it doesn't work.
Telling someone not to stress is like the worst thing you can tell someone.
Yes, it's like addressing the elephant in the room, like trying not to stress so that I could get pregnant, but then I'm stressed because I'm not pregnant.
To be fair though, I am a very anxious person. I'm always stressed about something. My mind is continuously going. I do think there is a little truth, just because you can get so obsessive over something that it turns into an issue. But just general stress in basic stress in general, I don't think is a cause.
Yeah. I just go back to like people who get pregnant when they don't mean to. It's like, I'm pretty sure they were probably stressed with things in their lives and they still managed to get pregnant. So to me, it just gets me, my blood pumping, which makes me more stressed. So stop telling me to not be stressed. I get that all the time. And it's like people are trying to mean well and they're like, well, maybe if you just took a vacation or stopped thinking about it, stop tracking, stop using all your stuff and it'll happen. It doesn't happen. I've tried that too.
Yeah. So infertility is mostly a female issue. Completely false.
Yes, and there's like so much wrong with the fact that everything gets blamed on the woman. That's another thing that makes me mad. Is that, oh, you're not getting pregnant? Oh, it's your wife's fault.
Yep. So let's take that statistic then. So about 50% of all couples seeking help have male factor issues. 50%.
That's half.
Yes, thank you.
I passed math, guys.
That's a large number.
Yeah, it is. And honestly, I don't think that a lot of people realize that. I think it's really easy to get caught up in all of the things that you can do to change your lifestyle, your diet, your whatever, going to your doctor, and then never even look at your husband. And then really the problem all along was him, and you can waste a lot of time. Right, so there's the mobility, the actual
sperm count. Yep.
The like, what is it? The mutations, or like they can be, they could have two heads or two tails, or it's kind of a little crazy. All the stuff that could go wrong with sperm.
Yep. And because males are able to continuously reproduce their sperm, it's important to get them checked out every year, actually, because things can change.
Isn't it like every 3 months, whatever your diet is. 3 months later, that's what the sperm's gonna be?
Yeah, your diet has a little bit of effect on what happens. Not as much as probably the female, but...
Yeah, I don't know.
We are not doctors.
We are not doctors. I definitely think that. So when you went to your doctor, did she tell you, like, hey, your husband should get checked out too? Or did it take a while?
So when I first went to the doctor, so you have to see your OBGYN first, and then they have to recommend a fertility specialist. And one of the first things that the fertility specialist will do is have lab blood work drawn up for you. And then she'll have your husband come in, or your partner, or whoever. And she will have them do all of these sperm tests. And they will do that before you can even start certain medications.
Oh, okay. So that's good to know, as long as you have a husband who's willing to get the test done.
Yes.
Because that's a whole nother podcast talking about how to convince your husband to go along with all your crazy schemes.
Yes, to further your baby
hunt. We will just say, any men listening, it does not make you less of a man to get your sperm checked. It really doesn't.
No. And it's not as weird as you think, according to my husband. So
there you go. Words to live by.
Yeah, you see everything in the movies, and it's really awkward, and you come out of a room, and everyone knows what happened. No, they actually let you do the test at home. So,
oh.
If you live close enough to the hospital.
Then you just, like, do it, and then you bring it back to the facility or whatever.
Yep. Now, that could be, just, you know, each doctor probably has their own rules, but
yeah,
that was nice that you can
do it at home.
Yeah, get tested at home and take it in. So,
people do it with their poop, too. They poop in a bag and then take it. I think it's so weird. So weird.
I will neither confirm nor deny.
I've never pooped in a bag and brought it to a doctor. But never say never.
Yeah. Okay, what about tricks? We've talked about myths and debunked some foods, and so what about tricks to get pregnant? This is what I found online, what came up. So obviously you want to record your menstrual cycle. That's,
I think we're all doing that.
I think we're doing that. You monitor your ovulation.
We're all trying to do that.
Yes.
See our podcasts on apps, fertility apps, on how to monitor your ovulation. Yes.
Having sex every other day during your fertile window. Fertile window or ovulation. And that one seems like a smart idea.
See, what I've heard about that is that if you have sex every day...
Well, you're supposed to do it every other day.
Yes. So I've heard that if you do it every day, that actually decreases the sperm count and, like, decreases the quality of the sperm. And so they recommend every other day.
Yes.
So all of those friends that thought they were being so helpful to me, you know who you are, saying, you don't have sex enough, you need to have sex every day. You know who you are. It's false. And don't feel bad. I think that was one of the biggest things that I felt, was this pressure that, oh, if you really want a baby, then you need to have sex every day. Not taking into account scheduling, how stressful your days are, like, what you have going on in your life. It's not always possible to have sex every day, and I don't think that's a bad thing. And I don't think you should feel guilty about that. So if you're beating yourself up over that, you shouldn't feel guilty about that.
And sperm lives in long enough that every other day is plenty just good for it to survive.
So depending on the quality of your husband's sperm, some sperm lasts up to 5 days. So you think about it, 5 days is a long time. Don't feel guilty.
And that kind of goes along with another one I have for cutting back on strenuous workouts. Because too much working out can actually interfere with ovulation.
And too little working out will interfere with ovulation. There's
a fine balance somewhere in there.
The whole thing is dumb. So it just depends on how much you worked out before. If you were a super active person and you're out there running marathons, don't need to stop running marathons. It's based off of, like, how your body is.
But don't jump in thinking you need to be the best bodybuilder either.
Yeah.
To be in shape to get pregnant.
And the whole healthy lifestyle is kind of just a little bit like a mud pit that you don't want to get sucked into. Try your best.
Feel good.
We all need chocolate. We all need to eat chocolate. So don't feel bad.
Find the balance in the middle there.
I hate prenatals, and I don't know about you, but being on a prenatal, you're not meant to be on a prenatal for over a year. I'm sorry. It's not good. They make me nauseous. I'm not pregnant.
What kind have you been taking?
Stop punishing me by making me nauseous and giving me heartburn. I don't want it.
Have you tried the gummies?
No, I've tried, like, all kinds of stuff. Different kinds of pills. I haven't done the gummies because I was trying to do the whole, like, organic, whatever, pure for your body. But in my research, in looking up prenatals and stuff, I found that really the prenatal is just kind of covering all your bases. It's basically got all the same things with a couple bonus things. Regular one-a-day women's regular yes. vitamin. Just some of the extras are like the folate, which is what makes you nauseous. But I'm personally of the mind that I'm not pregnant. So why am I making myself nauseous? I was just kind of getting, I got over it. I was mad. It's like, I have been on these for over a year now. Miserable every day. No thank you.
Yeah. I think as long as you're taking the vitamins that your body's lacking in some form, which prenatal vitamins kind of the best all-in-one. Yes. Taking a woman's vitamin and also taking, you know, the extra zinc and...
I personally, if you can't tell, I took a little break. I'm still kind of taking a little bit of a break. People get pregnant and don't know that they're pregnant and then start taking a prenatal and they're okay. Most of it is just has to do with there's early developmental things with
folic acid and all that. It's not going to be harmful either. As long as you're getting the nutrients you're lacking.
Fetus, that if you have the prenatal already in your system, it helps with the egg development. So you're not having as many issues, chances of issues there. And then the brain development and the cord development and all that fun stuff at the beginning of early pregnancy that needs those extra vitamins. And that's where the prenatal comes into play. So if you have a really unhealthy diet and you're not taking care of yourself, 100% I recommend do a prenatal, try a prenatal. Maybe we'll have a podcast on different prenatals so we can give some good options and our experiences with it, because like Leanna was hinting at, maybe I just didn't try the right one.
Yeah, I've taken all sorts. I've done, you know, your organic, and those ones actually made me the most sick. And it was until I took the gummies that were like, oh, strawberry flavored or something, that my stomach could handle them. So I think it's just, you know, find the one that's right for you. Next, we have kick your smoking and drinking habits early. Not so, just when you're pregnant. Start yes, earlier.
Those things are hard to quit. I have never smoked a day in my life. I have horrible lungs. I cannot even be around somebody who smokes. I do know that those are hard things to quit, and so they recommend you quit it before you start trying to get pregnant, because you don't want to be trying to quit smoking while you're pregnant and having all those cravings and icky bad stuff. But the drinking habits, that does get me. I googled WebMD, and a direct quote from them is, although drinking too much alcohol when trying to get pregnant isn't smart, a glass of wine won't hurt. So if you like your alcohol, go for it. Don't really recommend overindulging on anything, but don't feel like you have to quit everything in your life that makes you happy. I don't drink. Doesn't really apply to me.
Nope. And then the other one is increase your iron intake. And this was an important one for me because I have very low iron levels. So you want to eat your iron-rich foods. There are supplements, but those kind of made me super nauseous, just straight up taking iron. So increasing your red meat, beans, dark leafy greens, and dried fruit is a great way to increase your iron. And if you are consistently having low iron, which I have, you have a condition called anemia, which is that your blood doesn't have enough red blood cells. So if you get frequent headaches or migraines, this might be something to look into or ask a doctor about. When to seek help. I think this is a really important one. What they recommend is that you seek help after 6 months you've been off birth control, if you are over 35. And if you are under 35, you seek help after 1 year of trying.
So if you've been tracking your cycles before you start trying, and you realize that you have irregular cycles, or you have any kind of reason to believe maybe you got diagnosed as a teenager with PCOS or something like that, that's where you want to talk to your doctor and let them know before you start trying. Just kind of lay the groundwork, because there's always a possibility that they'll let you do testing earlier. I think it just ends up happening. And your insurance, I think, depends on your insurance. Some people won't cover until you've been trying for a year.
You know, diving deeper into what your issues may be, because it's never black and white. PCOS has many forms, so does, you know, everything else.
Endometriosis.
Yes. There are many different levels, different forms, different ways to treat it.
It took you guys, how long did it take you guys after you got help?
After we went to a specialist, I think it still took us a year and a half, maybe 2 years. I'd have to go back on my math there.
That's
but
a long time.
It is a long time of different medicine and trying everything. It's not always a quick process. So seek help.
All of these vitamins and things we're saying, always, if you have a doctor, check with your doctor, see if they recommend it for your diet.
Yes.
But it is just stuff that you just Google, how do I get pregnant? And these are the things that come up as tricks.
Yes.
Keeping your legs in the air and laying down after sex. So there are some studies that were done with the laying down after sex, but they were, I need to look it up, but the studies are not really necessarily to do with regular people. It had more to do with people who were having like IVF and those kinds of treatments and laying down. So it doesn't really, there's no real studies done with like regular people, but then again, it can't hurt to just lay down. So
I think it helps to relax your body, maybe accept a little more, but you know, the sperm, it's gonna get there if it's gonna get there.
Though the WebMD, I was kind of surprised because I didn't think about this. They said, it is good advice to lay in bed for 10 to 15 minutes after intercourse. Don't go to the bathroom during this time either. I know some of us have experienced this where you want to go pee right after having sex because nobody likes to get the burning sensation and the horrible. So if you can, if you can't, go pee. I mean, you have to. It's just go pee. It's okay. Don't be bad on yourself. Don't hang upside down on the bed. I did that once. It was kind of comfortable and good for my back, but I probably shouldn't have done it. I don't think it really did anything.
But, I mean, there's a lot of truth in your mind and tricks. So, I mean, you might be able to convince yourself it's working. So
true. I've done the positive affirmations. The you are now making your way through the cervix. Go, little spermies, go. Visualize the egg. And visualize the sperm and visualize them coming together and creating a baby. You do a lot of crazy things when you're trying to get pregnant and it's not working. I'm sure Leanna's done something that maybe she doesn't want to admit that she's done.
I haven't visualized. That's for sure.
Positive affirmations. I've done that too. I've done the positive affirmations where you do the yoga and you breathe in, you will get pregnant. Breathe out, we'll get pregnant. So just, if you have any other tips, tricks that you want us to talk about or you want for you or anything like that, we are both willing to be guinea pigs. We have both proven that we will try pretty much anything. I will not drink my own pee, but that's just a limitation on myself.
No, that's pretty valid for me too.
Life's Fertile Questions podcast, and we will try to get back to everybody. Everybody deserves to have a voice, and that's a big part of why we made this podcast.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Check out our show notes for any links, and follow us on Instagram at Life's Fertile Questions Podcast.
Yeah, subscribe, like, follow for weekly episode. Next week, we're going to be talking about my journey with infertility and everything that I've gone through. It's a little bit of an emotional episode, so just be prepared. And then the following week, we're going to be talking about Leanna's journey. So
bring the tissues.
Yeah, bring the tissues. Thank you guys for listening.